Hey, everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Therapy, the March 4th edition, March 4th, 2024. Todd.
Yes.
Todd never knows what I'm going to spring on him. I have a business proposition for you.
A business proposition.
I'm looking at starting a new business, and I wondered if you'd be interested in investing.
Well, you're going to have to tell me more than that.
This goes for anybody else that's listening. Actually, this is an idea that was started by some friends of mine looking at what are we going to do when we retire? Well, here's the idea. It's a food truck.
A food truck.
Food truck. A gravy food truck.
Gravy.
Gravy. We're just going to have gravy. And you can, we supply the gravy and you bring whatever the hell you want and we put gravy on it. I can see your excitement is building already. I talked to my brother earlier. He's in.
He's
kind of in. Linda, no grits, but good God, that's just gravy. Just great. See, people keep wanting to expand. We'll start out with white gravy and brown gravy. But, you know, I did a little bit of investigating, Todd. Do you know how many different kinds of gravy there are?
Well, Italians call spaghetti sauce gravy, so I about can imagine.
We could move in with the gravy. But I was looking this up. There's red eye gravy. There's cornmeal gravy. There's chocolate gravy. Who wouldn't want that on their potatoes? Red eye roast beef gravy, brown gravy, I named tomato gravy, sawmill gravy, shiner gravy, shrimp gravy, cream gravy, salt pork and milk gravy, chicken gravy. And if you don't have any chicken, you can make mock chicken gravy. And creamed tuna gravy, Todd.
Creamed tuna gravy. That's a hard pass. That's a hard pass.
Cream tuna gravy. Come on. You gotta open your horizons, widen your horizons.
You might have a market. You might have a market. Fred pops in and says, Iowa cheerleaders consider gravy a beverage. So there you go.
There's a lot of people that would look at gravy and say, oh my God, this is the best thing. See, listen. Linda Wilkins doesn't understand. Shrimp and cheese grits is to die for over toast. Everybody has a thing, Todd. And we could, that's the thing about this. It could be nationwide. We could just start out in one small area. Probably Oklahoma, I'm thinking, is one of the best places to start with gravy and then expand from there. We could be gravy kings.
The gravy kings.
Gravy kings. You're already starting this?
Let me consider that for a while.
Okay.
Give me some time to think that over. Right now I'm kind of blocked by the two of us coexisting in a food truck.
I don't think we're going to actually probably be in the food trucks. We could start this out when we do our meet and greet during the spring game weekend in Lincoln. we could just have some gravy and just say, hey, do some taste testing, do some rubbing and bubbing. People could bring their favorite, toast. I don't know what you... There you go. Coronation gravy, it'll fill you up if you can keep it down. Wow, Fred, that's a slogan. That's a slogan. We could put that on shirts. See this? Whoops. The tuna gravy over toast. James Boardman's got it. Biscuits and gravy, chicken fried steak. Damn it, I'm getting hungry. See what we could do to people, Todd?
I see that.
James Boardman asked, does this gravy go with PBR? What gravy doesn't go with PBR?
Well, obviously Linda's on board. She says Todd spotted cow beer with gravy. So, PBR, God, spotted cow, we're flexible.
Jeez. There you go. Dana Williams on, I missed it. Where was
sorry.
It?
I'll get.
Dana Williams says, bring my fries, cheese curd, and call it Husker poutine. See that? We can do this. Gravy and sausage over grits. Justin Roggie put me down for $8. See, this is how things start, Todd.
There you go.
Okay. I want you guys to think about the gravy concept. Just, you know, we'd have a truck and it just have some spigots. I mean, of course, they'd be labeled with what kind of gravy. We'd have specials for gravy.
Kind of like beer spigots. We'd have them on the side.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
The dog's already whining at me. She's just, what the hell? Okay. Husker sports. We should probably talk about. There you go. Hamilton Husker. John and Todd, the Ben and Jerry of gravy. See what's in our future.
The Ben and Jerry of gravy. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Okay.
We'd be environmentally conscious with our gravy.
I didn't even think of this. Esther says gravy trained for your canine clientele. We could have, you know, we could have pet gravy. There's also, see how many just wonderful, magical things you could do with this?
Well, and here's one too, I guess. Nick Breyer says gravy in IV bags.
Yep. And then on the backside, you know, on the backside after like 3-4 years of this, we could start like health clinics. Okay. All right. Anyway. Oh, my God. James Boardman, gravy flights as appetizer. Linda Wilkins, is it by the bowl or by the pond? Well, you know. We can't have a, I don't know how big a truck you can have and still call it a food truck. So probably by the bowl for, you know, at the beginning, but we could get bigger. Okay. Good gravy, house of gravy. We'd have to come up with some names. All right. Football, basketball, baseball, wrestling. Is there anything going on out there in the world with regards to our beloved Nebraska Cornhuskers, Todd?
And I tell you what, it's been kind of a rough week for me. I've been under the weather, and so my attention, if I had any attention, I really had to focus in to grasp what was going on. You know, we generally do like to talk a little bit about Husker football towards the top, but I'm not aware of any current Nebraska football news. I did see on our Slack that Dylan Raiola and some of his buddies made their way out to a softball game this weekend in Lincoln. You know, there's that. They're in the middle of their winter conditioning, and I have seen bits and pieces in different places where some schools have already started their spring practice. Nebraska's
really?
Down south. Nebraska's pushed theirs back, you know, a little bit later than in previous years. So we still got a few weeks before all that's going to happen. Do you have any football news? I can share another thing with you, but if you've got any football news?
I don't. I haven't really paid. You know, I've been paying a close attention to the whole lawsuit, becoming employees kind of thing, trying to figure out what's going on there. And I, you know, I've talked about that before, so I don't know if there's any updates on it. You know, I will say this, you know, I follow some guys on Twitter that are like lawyer type people. And I really, you know, they keep asking, is the NCAA just going to give in on this and get out of the way? And my thought is on it. No, because you know, I'm a consultant, Todd.
Yeah.
And you know what they say about consultants?
They're out for the money.
Well, who isn't? Come on. This is America.
Oh,
for God's sakes. They say about consultants, if you're not part of the solution, there's good money to be made by prolonging the problem.
There you go.
And I'm thinking that's what's going on with this whole NCAA continuing to fight lawsuits. They're going to know they're going to lose. Everybody bills by the hour. Everybody is making what, Todd? What money. Are they making? They're gravy. Making they're making gravy.
Making gravy? There you go.
Right, you know.
There you go. Well, you know, something's going to come to a head. You know, I'm going to guess this summer. There's going to be some kinds of decisions being made. Maybe Congress is going to get involved a little bit. One thing that we do know is that coaches and college administrators, they're fed up with the current situation. They want some structure. They want some rules. They want, they need that, because right now, as many people have said from time to time, it's the wild, wild west. And that is an uncomfortable situation for most people to be in.
Most business people don't like chaos. People like me love chaos because I bill by the hour. There you go. That's
there
it.
You go.
Woo. Okay.
Mike Corgan throws up, is Todd telling ghost stories? Well, I apologize. Just couldn't get the lighting that great. And as I said, I'm feeling a smidge under the weather still. And I don't know, figured maybe this might enhance the way that I'm feeling. I do have a little football chatter that.
Okay. Football chatter.
We all have our favorites. We all have some of those people that we admire, respect for a variety of reasons. And one of the things that I did when I had an actual office, I had 8x10 photographs of people who in one way, shape, or form had an influence on my life or that I highly respected, stole the idea from Thomas Jefferson. If you go visit his house in Monticello, you can.
So which photo of me is on your wall?
The one where you were playing stupid ball, I think. But one of the people that I have admired and respected for a long, long time, and still do, even though he's no longer with us, is Mike Leach, former football coach at Mississippi State and Washington State, Texas Tech before that, and even little old Iowa Wesleyan College down in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. He and Hal Mummy started out there together. But I've always loved that guy. He's been one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite coaches. I finally read his book, Swing Your Sword. And, it's a short book. It's not a long read, but I would strongly encourage, anyone to, if you can get your hands on that book, to read it. But he's eccentric. He was willing to talk about anything and give a perspective. Just a cool, cool coach. And, we could tell Mike Leach stories probably until we're, 6 foot under. But I just wanted to share that with you because, there aren't many Mike Leaches anymore in, college sports. He was one of a kind. And he left us far too early. But I always appreciate those people that are willing to get, don't talk cliche, don't give us the same old, speak out and tell us what you're really thinking and that type of thing. So that's, I'll move away from that because we got more important things to talk about.
Well, what's next? Do you want to go with wrestling?
Well, we can.
Because we're coming to the climax of the season for wrestling. Yeah. Things are happening with wrestling.
The upcoming weekend, we have the Big Ten tournament, toughest tournament in the country. And dare say it might even be tougher than the national tournament. You could argue that. But Big Ten tournament is Saturday and Sunday. It's out in Maryland. Maryland's hosting it this year. They just sent the they just established what they call the pre-seeds. These aren't hard and fast, but they're a pretty good barometer of where the wrestlers are going to be seated. If every Nebraska wrestler wrestles up to his seeding, 8 of them will qualify for the NCAA tournament. And I was kind of thinking about this. you know, as reading, Dylan had an amazing article this week about the Nebraska wrestlers that are redshirting and those guys that are kind of under the radar. Really, really good.
Dylan Gunther, our Dylan writer, not our Dylan writer. Raiola, just in case everybody thought that there was, Dylan was, you know.
Dylan Gunther, the best wrestling writer in the United States of America.
And wow, there you go.
He is our guy. He's our guy. And so I got to thinking a little bit about it. And, you know, the two that are going to have to wrestle above their seat, the two that are going to have to upset a few people and have an outstanding weekend are going to be Bubba Wilson at 174. He's qualified twice, but down a weight. And Nash Hutmacher. Nash Hutmacher is currently, he's seated at 10. Right now, they're only going to take, I think, six or seven heavyweights from the Big Ten. Now, once the dust all clears, there are some wild cards that get picked. So, you know, the possibility exists that they'll get some others in there as well. But, you know, it's a exciting weekend. Ridge Lovett is the only top seed that Nebraska has at 149. Lenny Pinto is seated second at 184. The guy he's seated behind is a Salazar kid from Minnesota. I don't think they've wrestled this year. I might be wrong, but I don't think they have. And then they have a number of four seeds and five seeds. So exciting weekend coming up for Nebraska wrestling. And, you know, they've – Coach Manning has had the magic the last few years getting his wrestlers to peak at the right time. So I'm excited about that.
We have wrestling questions. James Marshall says, Todd, why do you think wrestling hasn't caught on in high school athletics in some areas? Well, it's exploded in others. My high school in Kentucky still doesn't have it.
Obviously it's a regional situation. You know, that's it really became popular first in the Midwest, and then it kind of grew from there. I think it has to do a lot with the regional culture. Kentucky, you know, when you say Kentucky and you're talking athletics, you automatically think basketball. And, you know, so it takes a little while for it to catch on. You know, Iowa has had very, very strong high school wrestling for years, you know, since the early 1900s. But there's still schools in Iowa that have never had wrestling. So I think, again, wrestling right now, the toughest states, the best states for wrestling are Pennsylvania, Illinois, New Jersey, New York. You know, those are the best states.
Fred Sacco says, I think it's because some areas are just chicken shits. Yeah, I'd say that. You know, and they're full of pansies.
Sounds,
just can't take beating up other people, or I don't know whether it's...
Sounds like a wrestler.
God. Photo of John from the Salami Brother days. I would think you'd have that photo of me, my chicken legs.
I don't know that there ever was a. I didn't know that there ever was a photo of the salami days.
Okay, John Roten says, "I'm ready for wrestling to be over. I don't want to see Nash with an injury." Mr. Roten, there is an inherent risk in life, and if we do not face the facts that there are inherent risks in life, we forget to live. That's my advice for everybody. And you can't not do things because you're afraid of things. I mean, I get it. You know, you don't just jump off a 30-story building without some kind of parachute. I don't know. But, you know, take risks. Go live. Get some adrenaline.
I think there's a better chance of Nash Hutmacher getting hurt on the football field than there is in the wrestling room. Myself.
Nick Breyer asks, status on Penn State's Karachi.
Yeah, Carter Starachi.
Oh.
that he is a three-time defending national champion at 174 pounds. He was injured last week. Nick, they're keeping that very, very quiet. You know, there are different kinds of qualifying criteria outside of the allocated qualifiers per conference. I suspect you're going to see Carter Cerracci at the Big Ten tournament. You know, to what extent he's going to wrestle, who knows? He'll be the number one seed. If he's injured badly, they may try to figure out a way just to get him far enough along in that tournament to qualify him for the Nationals. We've seen that with other guys who have been injured late in the season.
Clay Casselder asked the probably the question I have gotten the most times over since I've been running Coronation since 2006. Literally, everybody asked this question. And he asked, why does Nebraska not have a hockey team in the Big Ten? I just discovered we have a club team. Well, what my answer usually starts like this. Where are you going to get the hockey players? And the fact is you're going to get them probably from someplace else, but Nebraska. I don't think there's enough. You would have to add a women's sport along with men's hockey if you added men's hockey as a NCAA sport. And the thing about it, here's how I explain this. I think there are six hockey rinks. I think maybe six. I can't remember. Within 5 miles of where I'm sitting right here. Okay, I live in Minnesota. It's the state of hockey. We have hot. You could throw a rock and hit a hockey rink. And then you compare that with how many hockey rinks are there in the state of Nebraska, the state of Iowa. Hey, even Wisconsin. You know, because when I worked over in Wisconsin, those guys over there would tell me they didn't have anywhere close. So it's a matter of where are you going to get the players and how are you going to do that? And it's just – it's another sport. I don't know if Nebraska could be competitive in at the NCAA level. Plus, there's a cost. And, you know, UNO already has a hockey team, and there's always been this thing about Nebraska is not going to start one because UNO has one. And there you go. All right, is that good enough, Todd?
Well, I think, you know, there's just to take it another step further, you know, for those of you out here that reside in the eastern Nebraska area, western Iowa, or, you know, keep your tabs on what's going on. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden there was big news about Omaha perhaps being a destination for NHL hockey. There's a developer who's been very active out in the Gretna area. I think it's the same guy that's involved with Nebraska Crossing. Governor Pillen's kind of backing a little bit there as well. The possibility of building a new arena out there to attract an NHL hockey team. What I would say is this. Currently in Omaha, you have two hockey teams. You have UNO. And you have the Lancers. You have the Stars down in Lincoln. Those are junior A teams, the Lancers, the Stars. And hockey's gotten popular out in Kearney, the Tri-City team that's based out there. So, you know, there's youth hockey leagues. We've got people at Coronation whose kids play hockey. You know, that it's coming along in this area. But one of the things you got to look at is what is the potential fan base? And, you know, can Eastern Nebraska draw enough fans to justify having two Division I hockey teams 50 miles apart? Especially when there's not going to be many, if any, homegrown players. You know, John mentioned earlier, where are you going to get the players? Well, Omaha University or UNO, the Mavericks, you know, they've had Division I hockey ever, you know, even before Trev Alberts destroyed the wrestling program. And, you know, they've had to bring in most of their players from Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and Canada. You know, they still predominantly bring those kids in there. So, yeah, they go out of state to bring their kids. But how long will it take? How long would it take for a brand new program to establish itself when they don't have a foundation or a base to develop players locally? I just don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Highlander Gun says, do they curl there too, John? Yes, there's a curling rink about 3 miles away from me. I haven't done that. Because, you know, when you get around people that are like good on ice, they're just a different breed of human beings up here. And you've got to fit in with them. Otherwise, they'll just kill you. I'm only partially making that up. I thought when my kids were young, I thought, well, maybe they want to play hockey. And then I went to a hockey rink and I saw like 18-month-old kids on skates skating around where they were holding on a stool. These kids couldn't even walk yet and they were on skates. And I thought, what in God? These people are insane. Okay. Clay Castle says Arizona has hockey. How many rinks are there? Well, do they have good hockey or is it sucky hockey? I mean, there's a difference between being good and just existing. And I think that's the thing you'd have to think about for Nebraska is we got a lot of stuff going on. Let's see. We did that one. James Borg.
Go ahead.
Going with, you know, the nil stuff and what's going to happen with the future of football, the future of athletics. Let's see. What's next, Todd?
Well, I got a wrestling one I'm going to throw up here real quick if I can get it. Clay Kesselder says, is Jordan Burrow still competing? Yes, he is. Jordan Burrow is training out in Philadelphia. He moved his family back closer to where he grew up. He grew up in New Jersey. He's been out there for a few years now. He's going to attempt to make the Olympic team to wrestle in Paris this summer. He has not been able to beat Kyle Dake. And he is not. He has lost a couple of times recently to Chance Marsteller. In fact, Chance Marsteller has wrestled in the World Championships and has also wrestled in the Pan American Games, keeping Jordan Burroughs out. I think it's going to be the last hurrah for him. I can't imagine whether he makes the team and goes to Paris or not. I can't imagine that he's going to continue wrestling beyond this year, but yes, he is still active. Yes, he's still very popular. He's one of the best in the world. I think this could be it coming up here for him.
Okay, basketball.
Fire away.
Now, you know, we beat Rutgers last night.
Yeah.
And it was an ugly game.
Ugly and it was.
It was an ugly game for both teams. Neither team could make a shot. But, you know, both those teams played defense, really hard defense. And it was here's the thing about this. When I watch these games, I can't believe how physical they are because they are very, very physical. And I don't recall – maybe I just forgot how physical Big Ten football or basketball can be. But between Nebraska and Rutgers, I think I tweeted some of this stuff, but I mean, the last Nebraska was like 2 of their last 10 shots. Rutgers was like 0 of their last 9. Neither team could score a field goal in the last 3 minutes of the game. Nebraska won it. And, you know, it was senior night. And let's see who walked out on senior night. The big one's Keisei Tominaga and
Josiah Alec.
Josiah Alec.
Coleman.
I'm not familiar.
And
role player.
And
he's been one of those guys that's come in a couple of times where, you know, things have looked bleak for other guys.
Is it so Welcher? What's that kid's?
CJ yeah. Welcher.
Welcher. Okay. Yeah.
He graduated.
Right.
And now, I think that, you know, I know everybody. Listen, we'll get to Tom and Aga in a minute. 2 years ago, if you asked me about C.J. Welcher, I'd say, I don't know what the hell that guy's even doing on our team. But I think, you know, he's a shooter, and he can come in and get hot and just destroy people. And that's, I think, a key to this team is that you know, if they got a guy that's cold, they put another guy in and he might be doing them well. And then Josiah Alec just does, he just moves. I've said this before. Watching Josiah Alec take a shot from the corner of three, you're like, oh my God, it's like watching a Tommy Armstrong yellow bomb, because we always have to make football references. You're like, I'm not even sure where that's going. And then sometimes it goes in and sometimes it doesn't, but the guy is everywhere. He's always after loose balls. He plays his ass off. He has been wonderful to watch play basketball. And then obviously I got a question for all of you. If you're paying attention to basketball, has there ever been a more fun Nebraska player to watch than Keisei Tominaga?
You know, I'm anxious to see what people have to say about that. I want to say a couple of things about that. You know, everybody knows here that I'm not the world's greatest basketball fan, but I'll tell you what has made it enjoyable for me. I've watched more basketball, and it's been Nebraska basketball. I think I watched an Iowa State game too, but I've watched more basketball in the last 3 weeks than I've watched in the last 22 years combined. And what I have really enjoyed is watching Josiah Alec play, because he does all the hard stuff, and he does it, and he's out there, you know, giving it his all, playing hard every game. I mean, he lays it out there. The kid has a motor that won't stop, and he does all the dirty work and just keeps coming back for more. And then I said this last year when I first started really kind of paying attention again, I've never seen a player that plays with as much joy as Keisei Tominaga.
Yeah.
You know, he just, is he the best Nebraska player of all time? No, he probably, you know, from what I understand, listening to talking heads on the radio and stuff, you know, he probably doesn't even rate anywhere close to the top. You know, people want to talk about a bunch of the players that were around during the Danny Nee regime and some of those other players. But it is so fun just to watch him play and you know, just to share in his joy. Those two guys, Tominaga and Alec, have made watching basketball fun for me. I don't know that I probably wouldn't be watching as much as I have recently if it wasn't for those two guys.
You know, he's top in my heart, Todd. He's the top player in my heart.
They were arguing on the radio when I was running around a little bit later today. They posed the question, is Keisei Tominaga the most popular Nebraska basketball player of all time? And, you know, people apparently ignored the term popular because, you know, no, he's not the best. John, you went to a few games back when we were in school. Wasn't there some guy named Jack Moore?
Jack Moore. Yeah.
That's
a while ago.
Well, he was a scrappy, you know, hard-nosed player. He was a pretty popular player. I don't know.
You know, Nebraska has one game left in the regular season. It's on Sunday at Michigan. Let's see. Don Dre says this. Ah, come on, get up there. Don Dre says Nebraska has a chance to pay back Michigan for football with the basketball team. And you know what? That's a guy who understands how the Big Ten works. Because this does count. If you're going to be a Big Ten fan, I know there's a lot of Nebraska fans that all they are is football, 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 football. But when we beat Iowa in basketball, it hurts them. It hurts them, mostly because they don't expect it. If you look at the Big Ten standings right now in basketball, guess who's on top? The entire Big Ten West.
Yeah.
So we can look at them and laugh at them. If we get into the NCAA tourney and Ohio State doesn't, you can point fun at every Buckeye fan you want. And if they turn around and go, you've never won an NCAA tournament game, you go, who's living in the past now, you son of a bitch? Huh? That's what you do. Same with Michigan, because they suck.
Who would have thought that coming into this weekend, coming into yesterday, that both Nebraska men's and women's teams were in a position that they could be in that number four spot and get a double bye. Unfortunately, the women didn't get the job done, but they're a fifth seed in the women's tournament. If the men can beat Michigan, then they're going to be a number four seed. Nobody saw that coming. Fred Hoiberg should be the Big Ten coach of the year, and it shouldn't even be close as far as I'm concerned with what he's done compared to where this team has been. Yeah, I'm with you, John. Beat Michigan. Give us a little bit of something to feel good about. We'll respond to this. Linda Wilkins says, did you see the coat Joe, meaning Josiah, was wearing at the after presser? Yeah, he had this big old faux fur coat on. I think he said he paid like $70 for it.
Looked like one of those Coonskin coats from the 30s.
Yeah, I thought he looked
1930s.
Like, he kind of looked like Jeremiah Johnson, you know, that old Robert Redford character. Yeah, good on him. I thought that was awesome.
Okay. What sports next? Baseball. You paid attention to baseball.
I do pay attention to baseball.
Nebraska swept the College of Charleston.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody saw that coming. College of Charleston was 8-0, undefeated when Nebraska went down there. And Nebraska came from behind in all three games.
It was supposed to be a four-game series, right?
It was supposed to be a four-game series, and it got rained out on game two on Friday, got rained out. But in game one on Thursday, Nebraska came back and tied it. They were at one point, Nebraska was down 6-1. They came back and tied it in the ninth inning, and then they won it in the 10th. On Saturday, they won it in the ninth. And on Sunday, they won it in the ninth. Just incredible. And, you know, what a bunch of scrappers. It was a wonderful series to listen to. I'll tell you what, for all of us that are Nebraskans, get ready to enjoy seeing a home state kid start making a name for himself, because Tucker Timmerman from Beatrice, kid is a freshman. He's built like a linebacker. He was a linebacker down at Beatrice. He was an all-state basketball player too. They have brought that kid in tough situations where they've needed somebody to get warmed up real fast. And the kid has been amazing. He throws 94 miles an hour. He's got a breaking pitch that's nasty as all get out. And he's got that temperament to be in that kind of a situation. So, you know, I remember years back when there was a big old kid from Lincoln that got everybody excited because of what he could do on the mound. His name was Jabba Chamberlain. I think people are going to start latching on to Tucker Timmerman here pretty soon, because he's something to watch.
So what do we got coming up with baseball?
They are going to open their home series, or they're going to have their home opener this weekend. South Alabama comes to Lincoln, and I think the first game on Friday got a 4:05 pitch, first pitch. South Alabama, they've won, I think they're 8-2, they're 9-2, something like that. They're off to a good start. They're a familiar team. Nebraska's played them, you know, in the past few years. They play kind of like Nebraska does. They're a bunch of scrappers. So I would look for an exciting series. I don't know that the weather's going to be great on Friday. It's predicted to be in the 50s, on the weekend, but, Friday might be a little bit uncomfortable.
In the 50s?
On Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay. All right. Nick Breyer asks, aren't the baseball team leading in RPI wins?
I don't know that, but I did see a way too early RPI where Nebraska, I know, is, you know, in the top six, seven of the RPI. You know, Nebraska's played good quality competition, and they're sitting with seven wins right now. Not against Loras College or Grandview. You know, they've played legitimate teams. Every team that they play have played thus far, you know, has been a team that has been in a regional tournament in recent years. So good on them.
Linda Wilkins says, John, could you request your press credentials and travel to Paris and cover the wrestling? And then Fred Sackle comes back and said, I don't think John's allowed in France. I fear an international incident. Well, let me show you guys something.
All right, everybody, get ready. Lock up the women and children.
I just got this in the mail recently. A passport, which means I could go to other countries and do things. I've never had a passport in my life. Of course, you know, I've been to Mexico and I've been to Canada, you know, Aaron says, John has never been to Europe. That's true. I still have never been to Europe. I've been to Mexico and Canada back when you didn't really need anything. You just went over there and they'd ask you questions. There's hi, you know, nobody gave a shit. Now everybody gives a shit about everything. Okay, go ahead and read that.
Yeah, Aaron Rostovsky. Aaron, for those of you that don't know, Aaron is our lead baseball guy at Coronation. And Aaron says RPI was number one immediately after they won Sunday. Now we're around 5, 6, or 7. So hopefully that answers the question that was asked a little bit earlier. So, John, now that you have a passport, what are you thinking, buddy? You got plans?
Well, I think my nephew wants me to go fishing in Canada with him in late June. Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere. Well, might be my last trip into the.
I think you and I should take a Viking cruise together, John.
Is that, do we go with Vikings?
Well, Vikings are the company. We're on long boats and, you know.
Do we have to row?
No, we don't have to row.
Do we get a pillage?
You can pillage, to what extent you can pillage, I'm not sure, but you know,
Aaron Keene says, John, international man of gravy. I like it. You know, somebody has to study the overseas market.
That's the name. International man of gravy. I can see that slapped on the food truck. International man of gravy.
Linda says you can go with the right driver's license, which I think is a real idea. I have one of those, but I was told to get a passport. So I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't really plan well. I just show up. Like, see, this is as far as. Ball tailgating parking lots. And that'll be our get together for spring. So get your asses there to come meet us. We'll try to get as many as the Coronation staff all together. Maybe we'll have some sample gravies that you can have. I'm sure we'll have something that we can hand out or we can share with you. Bread we can break and then put gravy on it. Oh gosh, it's 45 minutes, Todd. We've gone through all the sports.
You know, you had mentioned something before we came on.
Besides the gravy?
Well, you didn't throw the gravy at me until we were live. You held that one back.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron says mildly uncomfortable with the term sample gravy.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to come up with some. We'll look up the French. What's the French word for sample?
Who knows?
Is there such a thing? In Chantillon, I don't know French. I don't know. Okay. Minnie says, I missed something. Gravy. This is what you get for showing up late, Minnie. Okay. Go ahead. I said something before we went on.
Yeah. Before we went on, you mentioned a name that we've talked about before. Most Nebraskans aren't real fond of this individual, but Caitlin Clark.
Our favorite basketball player. Well,
Caitlin Clark is now the leading scorer in college basketball, regardless of gender, having passed Pistol Pete Maravich.
Really?
In the game against their game against Ohio State, who Iowa apparently beat this weekend, or at least that's what I hear. So, does that make Caitlin Clark the greatest scorer of all time?
I guess it does. Is this a trick question? Is this like
no? I'm just posing the question because you know times change, rules change. You know, neither one of us remember it because we were too young. But you know, back when Roger Maris broke Babe Ruth's record for home runs in the record books for years, they put an asterisk because Roger Maris played in more baseball games in a season than what Babe Ruth did.
Right.
Caitlin Clark is playing in an era with a three-point shot. Pete Maravich did not have a three-point shot. You know, so does that make her a better scorer than Pete Maravich was? Because she has more total points.
I
would argue. Yeah, no.
I hope you're asked. I would hope you're asking the people
And here's why. With the three-point shot, Caitlin Clark is averaging just a little over 28 points per game. Without a three-point shot, how many points a game would you guess Pete Maravich averaged when he played at LSU in 3 years? 3 years at LSU.
40.
40. I don't know anything. 44. Over 44 points. Pete Maravich scored over 60 points on four occasions, and he also topped out at 69 in a game. So just imagine where you've got a guy that was averaging 44 points a game and none of them were three-point shots.
Well, did everybody see the I don't know if I can upload this, but I'll put the tweet in the chat, but I don't know if you people saw this, but you can look at that. And this is the play that got Caitlin Clark her free throws that she set the record with, and it was a technical foul. And as you can see, she walks into the Ohio State player, then she does this, soccer flopping stuff. And I thought it was funny that people on Twitter said, well, you know, that's fitting that she got the record on those. Here's the thing about this. I can't stand her. I can't stand the fact that she gets away with so much crap. I understand that she has been a phenom, that she has attracted massive crowds that want to come see her. And I think the thing is this. We reward whiny people like this. We reward the people who are outliers. Look at LeBron James. I'm not a big LeBron James fan, but that guy whines about everything in the NBA, and he gets away with a lot in the NBA. And yet here he is, the king, and he makes shit tons of money. So, really, if you had kids right now, you'd tell them, go up, grow up and be the biggest, you know, bombastic outlying person you can be, because that's the people that are getting the attention. It's not just now with social media. That's been the case all throughout history, is, you know, that's the kind of a attention people get, that attract attention and attract ratings and attract, well, crowds, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So
don't get me
wrong.
I
don't know.
I don't like her either as a player. I think she's gotten away with a lot. I respect her. I have not seen many people that shoot the basketball like she can.
And that's true.
You know, when she just pulls up from the logo and drains it, I mean, that is a special talent, a special gift. There's no question that she she's been very important to the game. You know, is she going to be one of those individuals that at the next level in the NBA, is she going to be a transformational player or not? You know, time will tell. But, you know, I respect her for her skills. I respect her, you know, for how she's used her talent, developed her talent. So I'm, you know, hats off to her on that. But, you know, she'll forever be known as Flopland to me. You know, it's nice that we will not have to pay any attention to her anymore.
You know what? It'd be nice. Talking to me, because it hasn't done this for a long time and now it's doing it. What would be nice is if we could get our player of our own that did that, that got tons of attention. You know, maybe, well, Jazz Shelley's done a good job. Maybe Britt Prince coming in would, I don't know. That's a lot of pressure on a young kid.
Yeah, sure
is. Okay.
Sure is.
James Boardman says it's not hard to score in Iowa. Hubba, hubba. Yeah, Kim Hansen says if Pistol Pete was playing NCAA women's basketball, he would set a record double that. Well, that is probably true.
Probably true.
MK says apples and oranges, which is true, but you always got to make these comparisons. You know, the sports people, they always got to come up with some wild, weird shit to talk about. So there you go. I was going to say, wait a minute, Greg Mahochko, that some guy, I think he's called the panelist. I think that was his new nickname. It's kind of like... my internet cuts out for five pings again. Todd's illuminated face surrounded by darkness makes him look like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I got tired of looking at it, so I flipped on some more lights.
Well, I said earlier, whoops, wait, we're not ready for that one. I said earlier that there's an inherent risk in life, and Aaron Keene says John is right. For example, creamed tuna gravy is a significant risk for all involved. You know, that sounds like the C version of shit on a shingle. That's what that sounds like. I imagine if you're younger, you probably don't know what that phrase is. John Roten on Facebook, it's nice to see people on Facebook tuning in, says, I'm surprised Nebraska Athletics hasn't surrendered to the alcohol industry in the stadium yet. It's a lot of money left on the table. Might as well capitalize on it.
John, it sounds like there will be beer served at baseball games before the end of the season this year. That's something that we picked up a couple of weeks ago. You know, I don't go to home basketball games. I know they've served beer at Pinnacle for some events there. Are they not serving it at basketball games? I'm willing to bet when this stadium renovation is done, if not sooner, when the stadium renovation is done, it'll be available. They're going to, you know, some of the plans that they have are for some of these, you know, party areas and that type of thing. It'll be there.
Aaron Rostowski. Someday I'll get this right. Aaron says, I wouldn't put her, Caitlin Clark, on the Rushmore of women's college basketball if she wins the championship. I just threw up in my mouth. Then I probably would. You know, that's one thing I am looking forward to, Todd.
What's that?
Is Iowa failing again? I don't care how bad we are in sports. Things are certainly looking up lately, but at least we can like look at our trophy case, and there's some in there that aren't just bowl games and like participation trophies. And Iowa still just can't do that for
David. Anyway. David Matney says, "What is the reason for no alcohol in the stadium?" Well, you know, it's for years and years and years it hasn't been there. You know, Nebraska's had pretty conservative leadership at the top. So I think that probably is the best explanation that you can give at this point.
I'm sure somebody would say something about logistics and having to put taps in and having to deal with all this stuff. And you're dealing with a stadium that was built in 1923 that has pure concrete walls and things like that. I don't know. I've tried in the past in my career to try to put wireless systems into buildings that were built in like, I think one college asked us about it, and it was their buildings were built in like 1870, and they literally were, it was hell. There was no way they were going to be able to afford this. I don't know whatever happened to it. I ended up not doing that work.
Yeah, I saw this one pop up, and it just reminded me of something. Fred Sacco says, hopefully Brian Ferentz goes to a few Lady Hawkeye basketball games in the tourney and halves their point total. Fred, Brian Ferentz was in Lincoln. Brian Ferentz
was in Lincoln.
Was visiting with Coach Rule and the football staff. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, we'll see.
Dana Williams says, when I was a student, alcohol in the stadium was not an issue. I don't think it was much of an issue when we were there.
Wasn't an issue when we were there either, man.
Clay Castelder asked, can they drink in the suite? I don't know. I guess, if you could just bring it in, nobody's going to – it's not like they're going to raid your suite. That would be embarrassing for everybody. Husker Chuck says, I find myself hoping that Nebraska either wins the Big Ten tourney or loses the first game. I would love to see them in Omaha. Number 10 seed could land them there, correct? Go ahead.
That's what the prognosticators are guessing. I just assume not see them in Omaha. I mean, it'd be great to have the Nebraska fan base there. There's no question behind them and supporting them there. But I think it would be less pressure on the team if they played somewhere else. Just my gut feeling.
You know, I will say this. I saw, you know, I said this earlier, our last basketball game, last Nebraska basketball, men's basketball game is this Sunday at Michigan, and it's a road game. And, you know, Nebraska hasn't won many road games. Nobody in the Big Ten has really done well on the road. It would be a nice win to get it on the road to just further solidify the NCAA resume. But I saw somebody, a couple people in Nebraska, people on Twitter saying this is a must-win game for some reason. And we just got done beating Rutgers. We just got done celebrating senior night. We just got back. You know, if you're a fan of this, you just looked at the fact that Keisei Tominaga has played his last game on Huskers PBA floor. And then you look at the next one, you got to win this. Or what? You break down into apocalyptic terror. Here's one thing I've never understood. If you go to an amusement park and you're on a roller coaster ride, which is what basketball season is, do you not just sit there and go, I'm going to enjoy this freaking ride? And I'm going to enjoy it all the way through it. While you're on that ride, you think, gosh, I can't wait to get to the next ride. I wish I was on that ride over there. What the hell? Why the hell do we do this to ourselves? You know, just take things as they come. You know, I would love us to beat Michigan because it's Michigan, for God's sakes. And it's on the road. And it would be neat to win another game on the road. Give you a little more faith going into the Big Ten tourney. But don't, it's not an apocalyptic edge we're going to fall off of, you know, just it's the roller coaster ride. Enjoy the ride. Damn it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. All right. All right. We have, what the hell? David Matney says, where and when is the spring meetup?
We're planning on the Sunday of the Sunday when Iowa is playing baseball at Nebraska. I think that's the Sunday after the spring game. That's what we're tentatively looking at right now. We've got to firm a couple of things up, I think, before we totally commit to that. But that's,
I mean, we'll be in the baseball parking lot probably for all three games of the triple header, the series against Iowa, just because, my God, it's fun. It's baseball and it's Iowa. So, you know, we'll be out there. We'll just, as the dates get closer, we'll figure it out a little bit better. And we should be better at this. I suck at this, Todd.
Just need to make it a priority.
That's probably true. But we'll be there, David. You better be there, too. Bring something we can put gravy on. Good night, Todd.
Good night, John.